From KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can also email your questions and answers to anything at kera.org. Starting us off this week, from Chris in Minneapolis, writes, this is something I've wondered since I was a young kid. What is the difference between a hot dog, a wiener, a frankfurter, and a sausage? He says, is it a matter of the kind of meat? Is it the spices? Is it the size? Call us, 800-933-5372. Let's see, Jen in Parker County wrote us last week, I am a music student with an interest in composing my own arrangements of songs, and I'm wondering how copyright laws apply in this situation. For example, she writes, say a pianist has written a great piano arrangement of a pop song, and she wants to publish the sheet music for other pianists. I assume she has to get permission from the original songwriter to begin with, but once she has done this and found a publisher, what happens? Who gets paid when someone buys the arrangement? Is the money split between the original artist, the arranger, and the publisher? Who keeps up with all of it? 800-933-5372. Gloria in Dallas says, I've been searching for the origins of the term smoke, but haven't had any luck. I know it is. I know it's regarding to Sergeant First Class, who's in charge of the platoon all artillery, and I also believe the origins of the word originated in Valley Forge, but I couldn't find information about the origins of the term. Gloria says, none of the extant sources seem to know either. I asked people at Fort Sill, home of the Field Artillery Command Historian, and in Valley Forge, but they don't know. Gloria adds, I will immensely appreciate it if you can find out more information about the origin of the term smoke in the U.S. artillery or anywhere where I can find some information. Let's see. Rosemary writes, I get these little black bugs this time of year primarily on my south-facing window screens during the afternoon and evening hours. When we flick the screen, most of them fall down dead, but the others seem to be stuck in the screen. Why do they come in the house? If I open the window, or I'm sorry, they do come in the house if I open the window, and they are like small gnats. What are these bugs? Why do they gather in the fall like this? Do they bite? Call us, 800-933-5372. Oh, and also from Rosemary, we always tend to see lost dogs in rainstorms. And it seems, and my husband says, the rain messes up their sense of smell. Is this true? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And one more on the gnats from John in Plano, who says, I have a gnat problem in my apartment. The problem began shortly after I repotted my plants with a new organic potting soil. I thought the gnats would go away as the temperature cooled, but it seems as if the opposite is happening. Is there a natural solution to this problem? We've had this question before back in the summer, I think, and probably one of the best answers was take some old red, like a little bit of red wine in a cup and cover it with some, saran wrap and poke some holes in there. They'll climb down in there and they won't be able to climb back out. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Jason in Arlington. Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'm a music student at the University of Texas at Arlington. I have an answer about the arrangements.
Okay.
What the aspiring composer or arranger needs to do is find out who owns the rights to the piece that they are wishing to arrange.
Uh-huh.
If the composer is still alive, it would obviously be in the hands of the composer, him or herself, and whoever published their work. If they're deceased, there's a specific timeline that goes with it, how long after the piece was published, how long after the composer's death. Does the estate own it? It's a lot of complicated things. But the easiest thing to do is just to find the piece that you want,
mm-hmm.
find who published it, and work out a deal from there. If you're writing it for a specific ensemble, they will charge a specific price. If you are arranging it to sell to anybody, they're going to charge, of course, more, and of course you would fix the price that you would sell your arrangement to cover the costs of the publisher's fee.
So you find the original... You find the original publisher. That's the best route to go first.
Yeah, take the composer and find out who published that.
Sure.
That first work, and then you work out the fees from there.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Line open 800-933-5372. Email, of course, always open, anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Aaron in Dallas. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Jeff.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I have an answer on the wiener, frankfurter, hot dog question.
Yeah.
All of those are more or less regional terms for the same product, although regional preparations will vary.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the original product coming from Frankfurt in Germany, but The other thing is that all of those are sausages. They're a specific style of sausage, a mousseline or a basically an emulsified sausage,
right,
versus other sausages that we're familiar with, like Italian sausage or others that have a more granular texture.
Okay, well.
So that's the general answer there.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Nick, KERA member in Dallas, writes us to anything at kera.org. He says, you mentioned many times on the show about the hazardous waste or hazardous household chemical collection locations. He says, that got me to thinking, what specifically do they do with the hazardous trash? What constitutes a secure storage location for all the chemicals and hazardous materials they collect? Do they just put it into a huge cement vault? And how do they neutralize the chemicals so they don't react with one another, etc.? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Another one from Dawn, who writes, looks like from the Dallas area. Why in classic novels do they sometimes use the first letter of someone's last name and then a long dash instead of the entire last name? For example, Dawn writes, in The Count of Monte Cristo, there's a character called Countess G dash. I've seen this in other novels, too. I'd love to know why this was done. Well, I think it was done to maintain anonymity for the character that may have been based on, that character may have been based on for the actual person. But someone who is much more qualified than I will call or email an answer. Also, Dawn asked, why were the small poles installed to delineate the HOV lanes on 75 north of 635? She says a bunch of them have been run over. It just seems impractical. She says, I'm wondering what a person is to do if there's actually a stalled car or an accident in a lane that's blocked off in this manner. I guess that's why the poles have been run over. Couldn't there have been a better way to make an HOV lane? I've seen a couple of news stories about about this issue. I don't know if there's a plan to change them out or to do something else, but we'll find out. 800-933-5372. Up next is Sue in Springtown. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Jeff. Let me tell you that I'm losing my voice, so if you need to ask me to repeat myself.
Okay.
Okay. I have a recipe that calls for Dutch processed cocoa.
Okay. Dutch processed cocoa. Okay.
Right. And I'm wondering what the difference is between that and regular old unsweetened cocoa, and does it matter that much?
Well, you've called the right place. We'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Richard in Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Hello. I just have a quick question.
Okay.
I'm wondering if there's anywhere I can find out where I can find out more information about how you run for Dallas City Council. I know that there are several people on the board who come from very different occupations before they did that, and I'm just curious, how did they run for City Council? Where do you find out more information about that?
Well, there I believe are some requirements that you have to fulfill. I think you have to get so many signatures from within the district, and you have to live in the district, I believe, that you would represent, and you have to get so many signatures of verifiable registered voters to get on the ballot. You could probably find out information on that at the Dallas City Hall website.
Okay.
And there might be some frequently asked questions about running for office in the city of Dallas. Another place to look is the Dallas County Elections website, dalcoelections.org. But although I don't know if they have sort of the requirements that are necessary to run, but I know you have to get. I'm pretty sure you have to get so many signatures that are verifiable as registered voters to get on the ballot. And then, if you can do that, then you've got to get the votes.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Thanks
a lot. We'll ask, though, and see if there's always someone that's more qualified to answer these things.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Richard.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Tony in Dallas has emailed us. Why is there no swimming allowed in Lake Ray Hubbard? Entering the park on Dow Rock and I-30, there's a sign posted stating the city ordinance. Does anyone know what the ordinance is? Ryan, who's a podcast listener in Denton,
is wondering what the derivation of the phrase "no love lost" is. Contextually, Ryan says, "I know what it means. There's no love lost between them. Usually means that two people hate each other. But the phrase itself, the phrase by itself, no love lost, is kind of a mystery to me. Does anyone know where it originated?" Marilyn in Crossroads asks, when you go to print something on the computer and you get that little extra page that has one line of some identifier at the top and one at the bottom with nothing in between, it seems like such a waste of paper. Is there a solution to this? Can I just select the text that I want printed? Can't we make the people that have the websites we are printing from do something about this? 800-933-5372. And let's see, one more from Pat and McKinney. Says, I travel out of state quite a bit, and particularly I go to California, and I've noticed a far wider selection of hybrid vehicles and brands in these states. Why aren't cars like the Nissan Altima Hybrid sold here in Texas? 800-933-5372. Up next is Norm in Plano. Hello, Norm.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
Actually, I have a question, but while listening, I have an answer to the printing question, actually, that just came up. So I'll go for my question first. I'm looking for, it's not a derivation question. I've heard the phrase when doing a toast, you know, with drinks is, here's mud in your eye. It's kind of gone to the wayside, and you don't hear it much every so often, but for fun, every so often I bring it up. I would actually just love to know, is there another part to that, or is there you know, some context behind it.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
And the printing question, if I'm not mistaken, she was talking about on a website, correct?
Yes.
Yes, there's actually, depends on which browser you use, but when you go to print, press Control-P, at least on a PC-based platform, if you have a certain selection of the page selected, you there's options to say print the entire page, print what's visible, or print selected. So it is typically an option on that dialogue that comes up when you attempt to print a portion of the page or attempt to print out a web page.
Yeah, you can pick the page range you want printed or print current page, something like that, too.
Exactly. Current page, page ranges, or there's the selected part. Yeah. Exactly.
Great.
And if it's not in her browser, then I suggest she downloads one of the other free ones off the Internet and see if it has it.
Great suggestion. Thanks, Norman. We'll see if we can figure out where "here's mud in your eye" comes from.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ed in Arlington. Hello, Ed.
Hi. Well, I'm told I have to limit it to two questions, so I have two questions, and then while on hold, I have an answer to a couple of your questions, too. I'll go with the answers first.
Okay.
On the printer issue, while your previous caller, his advice is probably workable and fine, I would suggest that the woman who called in do a print preview first and then scroll down to the last page and see if that previewed last page is anything you want or is it just nonsense. And if it's just nonsense, as it frequently is, just go to back to the print setup page on the file menu under setup, page setup, and just tell it to print one less page than the computer thinks the job really is.
Okay.
And then on the lack of availability of hybrids in Texas as opposed to out west, I think that has to do with the stricter California emissions requirements.
Mm.
And there are California cars sold in California. The upshot is that there are cars that are built to meet stricter California emissions requirements,
right,
and they're only marketed in California. You could drive to California,
right,
buy one, bring
sure
it back here.
They're available there first, like many things.
Right.
Okay. And quickly, before we have to go to a break, Ed, what are your questions?
Okay. Cheese mold. Is there any truly dangerous mold that can grow on cheddar cheese in your fridge, and are you really taking your life into your hands when you just cut the mold off and eat what's left?
Okay.
Am I living on the wild side when I do that?
Okay.
And then the last question, second question, is about 20 years ago in the New York Times, there was an article in the sports section about an Olympic-class athlete who worked at E-Systems in Greenville. He was charged with a very serious crime.
And so you want to know who that was?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to go to a break, Ed. Thanks very much for your call.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. from KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. The phone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org. And that's where we get this email from George in Fort Worth, who writes, "The combination of a sausage and a bun was born in Frankfurt, Germany. This is what is commonly referred to as a hot dog, and thus, I guess, a Frankfurter. Wieners are most commonly a combination of pork and beef," he writes. He says the term wiener comes from Vienna, Austria, whose German name is just spelled W-I-E-N, Wien. Hot dogs, franks, wieners, etc. are always cooked, whereas sausage may be sold cooked or raw. A sausage is just a link of meat with no bun. George, it's a great email. That wins the fact-filled yet efficient and brief email award for the week. Other email answers from last week. Robert and Keller says, in answer to the question about where all these Hemp Hill areas or Hemp Hill streets come from, he says, "John Hemp Hill was a Chief Justice of the Texas Supreme Court and a United States Senator from 1859 to 1861, known as the John Marshall of Texas. He was a large supporter of secessionism. To answer the question, how do I get tickets to the presidential inauguration? John in Washington, D.C. writes, "There are two organizing bodies, one run through Congress and the other through the executive. He says the swearing-in ceremony at the Capitol is run by the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies. They issued a press release last week which read in part, 'Tickets to the 56th inaugural ceremonies will be provided free of charge and distributed through members of the 111th Congress. The Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies does not provide tickets to the public. Members of the public interested in attending should contact their member of Congress or U.S. Senator to request tickets," or one of their U.S. senators. He says, "That's only half true," John writes. "Your chances are much better of getting tickets along the parade route, which is controlled by the Presidential Inaugural Committee. Theoretically, the parade along Pennsylvania Avenue is free and open to the public, but you may have trouble seeing over the bleachers, 14 feet tall, that take up most of the prime viewing space. The National Park Service permits private groups like the Texas State Society to issue bleacher tickets, and you can't stand in front of them." He says, "You can still get access for a price. Scalping is totally legal in the District of Columbia. Look on D.C.'s Craigslist for tickets to the bleachers and the balls," he says, "but expect to pay a lot of money." And in regards to how much is that jacket or that suit or that pair of pants I just donated to charity, how much is it worth on my taxes? Scott wrote an email to us and said, "My tax preparer sold me a book that values these donated items in used condition. It's quite detailed and offers three levels of condition, low, average, and high. He says it's called It's Deductible, Turning Donations into Dollars, published by Income Dynamics." And Cindy in Mansfield says there's a page on the Salvation Army website that gives the value of donations, and it's salvationarmyusa.org. 800-933-5372. Up next is very patient Irma in Plano. Hello, Irma.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm
calling about the Dutch processed cocoa versus, I guess she called it regular cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
Dutch processed is smoother. It's less bitter, and it has baking soda in it. So if you don't have Dutch processed and you have regular, add a little baking soda, just a little, like, I don't know, eighth of a teaspoon,
okay,
quarter of a teaspoon, and it'll keep out, it'll keep the cake from being coarse and dry.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Okay.
All right. And we also got an email from Jeff in Richardson who says, from joyofbaking.com, which is probably a good source for this kind of stuff too, "Dutch processed or alkalized unsweetened cocoa powder is treated with an alkali to neutralize its acids. Because it's neutral and does not react with baking soda, it must be used in recipes calling for baking powder unless there are other acidic ingredients in sufficient quantities used." 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Michael in Dallas. Hello, Michael.
Hello. I have a comment on the no swimming question at Lake Ray Hubbard.
Yeah.
As I recall, without actually checking the ordinance, that's because that's a City of Dallas reservoir for the water supply. And same restriction applies to White Rock Lake as well, I believe.
No, okay. So it's because it's, is it because it's a reservoir or because it's the City of Dallas?
Well, it's a reservoir.
Okay.
I mean, that's I guess most City of Dallas lakes actually are part of the water supply.
Very good.
I guess they want to keep down infection.
Thanks very much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. And that's where we get this from Josh in Fort Worth, who who writes, Wilkerson Grinds, or Grinus, is an athletic complex in southeast Fort Worth. It's used for Fort Worth and surrounding independent school districts for their varsity athletics, among other things, he says, I'm sure. There's been a debate since I was in high school about the pronunciation of the last name, G-R-E-I-N-E-S. Not sure about the spelling, okay. And last night, my wife and I debated the same thing. I believe it's pronounced Grainus, and my wife believes it is pronounced Grinds, like Grinds without the D. Just can your listeners shed some light on this for us? 800-933-5372. Jimmy in Garland is a dedicated podcast listener and loves the show. Thank you, Jimmy, who also loves beer and needs help locating one brand in particular. He says, I've been told about a beer called Yuengling that's brewed at America's oldest brewery in Pennsylvania, but haven't been able to find it here locally. I've called around and stopped at a few specialty stores, but no luck. Maybe your listeners will know where I can find it. Yuengling Beer. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Tim in Coppell. Hello, Tim.
Hello. I had an answer to the question about the last name with the dash following.
Yeah.
That was mostly a stylistic deal that kind of followed from the almanac and the newspapers of the days. Like, if you look at Ben Franklin's Poor Richard's almanacs, he and his newspapers, he always loved to write little gossip columns, little humorous gossip columns, and he'd do that for anonymity, like you said. It was an anonymous kind of a deal. Also, with the beer question, that's kind of the pride of Philadelphia beer right there, along with the Ben Franklin thing as well.
Am I saying it right? Am I pronouncing it right?
Oh, you just call it lager in Philly.
Okay.
The Yuengling, I believe
okay,
it is.
Okay.
And I have not been able to find it anywhere in the South, anywhere outside of Philadelphia, but good luck, though.
Very good. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Wanda in Frisco. Hello, Wanda.
Hi. I actually have an answer for the Yuengling beer.
Yeah.
From Pennsylvania. It's made at the Lion Brewery in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can only get it on the East Coast, like New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania. I don't even know if you can get it in Ohio. I've asked here if they can get it, and they will not. But you can have it shipped from their website. They have about 7 or 8 different types. The lager is my favorite. But you can actually have it shipped from the website. But it's really good. If you go on a plane, you can bring back cans or bottles in your checked luggage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a question, too.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of newer to the area, I'm familiar with the Pledge of Allegiance. What's the deal with the pledge I pledged to Texas? Is it part of the movement of secession that never just kind of went away, or what's the deal with that?
Have you been exposed to this, the Texas State Pledge?
Yes.
In some setting?
Town council meeting at the school that I substituted at.
Oh, okay.
So they always do the pledge, United States pledge, and then they do I pledge to Texas.
Really?
And I was shocked because no other state that I've ever lived in or heard of has their own pledge of allegiance. So
well,
I was just very curious.
Well, it is Texas, Wanda.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Texas, and we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Gail in Dallas emails us and says, whenever I get a massage, someone is always handing me a big bottle of water to, quote, flush out all the toxins that the massage supposedly released. Does it really do that, or is this just an urban myth, she asks. Let's see. Christopher is trying to track down a movie title. Writes us at anything at kera.org. Says it's a vague and distant memory, at least as old as the early 90s. It's a slapstick comedy, and the only thing I can really remember about it is that at one point, the lead characters, I think they were males, undercover in drag, get on a coach bus. They ask to use the restroom, at which point one of the travelers on the bus opens up a directory map with a You Are Here marker, since the bus is apparently the size of a mansion. Just looking for the title. 800-933-5372. That's a new one on me. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Jeff in Dallas. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. I've noticed in almost every area grocery store, 9 o'clock, they shut one of the exits. And I'm not wondering why they do it, because they're just trying to control the exits and the less people coming and going. But I'm wondering how they can do it. I mean, these are lit fire exits, and they put shopping carts in front of them, so they physically block it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them have the automatic or the push emergency doors where they open up, and you know you can open them even though they look like they're closed.
Right.
But a lot of them aren't. They're completely locked. They're lit fire exits, and they're shopping carts in front of it. How is it that the fire marshal lets them get away with that?
Well, that's a great question, and I hope that you've called the right place, because now I want to know as well. And we'll see
All
if
right.
we get an answer for you.
Great.
Right.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Up next is Beth in Dallas. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Well, I didn't know I was going to be on the radio.
Well, you called.
I
called.
I was going to tell somebody.
Well, you're telling me.
With,
you're telling me this. It's a radio call-in show, Beth.
Yes, I know, but I'm 80 years old.
Well, you're
and
doing
I'm a
fine.
Bit, over the hill.
You sound
so
fantastic.
I have no medical credentials, but I am, as I said, 80 years old. I've spent many, many hours preparing food in my kitchen for family, friends. And I don't know where I got the information that the mold itself on cheese is beneficial and has been used in some medicines. But I have always peeled off or cut off the mold and grated the cheese, eaten it, served it to my family. I never got sick and no one else did.
Very good. Well, Beth, you know, I think that I would venture to say that a lot of cheeses come with their own mold already on them. Like if you think about a wheel of brie or something like that.
Right.
So, but thanks very much for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a nice afternoon. 800-933-5372. Up next is Justin in Fort Worth. Hello, Justin.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I got an answer for the question about how you pronounce the building in Fort Worth that they use for varsity sports.
Yeah.
I've called it Wilkerson Grinds the entire time I've lived in Fort Worth, but I believe that's actually incorrect. I think it is Wilkerson Grayness.
Okay.
If you go to the Fort Worth area swim team website, they had the correct pronunciation on there.
Very good.
I don't
good.
Recall what it was, but I just saw it on there the other day, and I remember thinking, well, I've been saying that wrong my entire life.
Well, then I'm glad. I like it when we can solve an ongoing dilemma for someone. Thanks for calling, Justin.
Thanks.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next is Nathan in Dallas. Hello, Nathan.
Hi, how's it going? I have an
it's going
additional
well.
Comment on Yuengling beer.
You bet.
I'm from Dallas. Haven't been able to find it here, but I was on vacation in Mobile, Alabama, which is in the south, and I found it several places down there, and it is very excellent. So you might be able to find it in various places in the south. I know it is more concentrated on the east coast.
It's one of the benefits of globalization. Or at least.
One of them, right.
All right. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Bye.
Let's see. anything@kera.org. A couple of emails. This is one from a question last week about there was a child care. A person had a person caring for their child in the home. And Teresa and Garland says, I'm a tax professional, can give a little more information. As a previous caller said, if you have someone in your home caring for your child, you're responsible to pay their Social Security and Medicare taxes to the IRS, just like any employer would be. The caller should apply for an employer ID number with the IRS, can easily do this by going to the website at irs.gov. Then he or she actually pays the taxes when he or she files his annual income taxes, Form 1040, by attaching a Schedule H for household employers. The caller is also responsible for giving the employee a W-2, this is the person caring for his children, a W-2 form by the end of January, and also reporting the W-2 information to the Social Security Administration. In addition, in the state of Texas, if an employee makes over $1,500 and works during 20 weeks or more during the year, he is also liable to the state of Texas for Texas unemployment taxes. He or she would need to register also with the Texas Workforce Commission as a domestic employer and file a report and pay unemployment taxes to the state of Texas. It would probably be advisable for the caller to contact a professional tax preparer for help in resolving these issues. And that, Teresa, thank you very much for your email. That is my suggestion. Get an accountant who knows how to do this stuff. And that's what they're there for. 800-933-5372. Up next is Marvin in Dallas. Hello, Marvin.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm fine. And yourself?
Doing well.
Good. answer to the question about smoke?
Yes.
Smoke is typically used in mortars and artillery shells. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
And there's, I'm in a truck.
That's all right.
A woman brought me my bills.
So what does it mean?
Anyway, smoke is used to typically mark targets.
Okay.
It comes in red and white, and I have seen blue. And they mark targets for aircraft, generally.
Okay.
And they will mark targets for other artillery and mortar units if one of the guns is zeroed in on the target. And then tanks or other crew serve weapons will then fire in on that marked target.
Very good. Marvin, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Right. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Let's see. Colin in Irving says, Yingling lager. You can get it at the Flying Saucer in Addison, Texas. I don't think you can get it to go, but you can get it there. Let's see. David in Garland, who's a marine biologist, says, I live out by Lake Ray Hubbard near Dowalk and also Windsurf Bay Park, which is part of Garland. The lake reservoir is indeed a City of Dallas water supply, but it's unlikely any ordinances against swimming have anything to do with infections of drinking water. There are many more sources for possible pollution and infection than people swimming. People swim out here all the time, and the police that check up on the park never tell people not to swim. The swimming ordinance is likely related to safety, he says, but I'm not sure. People windsurf, swim, and kite surf out here all the time. Let's see. Paul says the movie that Christopher is looking for, the name of, is called The Big Bus, and it came out in 1976. Paul suggests that you just search for The Big Bus at imdb.com. Let's see. Before we go to a break here, I think we have time for let's see if we can get confirmation on that. Vicky, is that what you were calling about? Oh, Vicky apparently does agree with that. It is anything you ever wanted to know. Let me read a couple more questions here, and we'll take a break. Eamon in Garland says, how is the turn and bounce performed? Says it's an arm chest workout like a push-up, but the instructions online are too vague to actually follow. Maybe somebody can walk us through it. And Renee in Garland writes, last week I drove from Dallas to Phoenix on Interstate 10, and I noticed that in New Mexico and Arizona, there are, quote, safety corridors along the way. What are these, and what are their purpose while driving the highway? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. It's anything you ever wanted to know, and we'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. The phone number, 800-933-5372. The email address, anything at kera.org. And that's where we got this from Anna in Plano. It says, according to my pastor a couple of weeks ago, mud in your eye is based on the Bible story where Jesus makes the blind man see by putting mud on his eyes. She says, I forgot the exact verse, though. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Steve in Dallas. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Jeff.
Yes, go right ahead.
Trying to give some more information to the caller about the state pledge.
Yeah.
I don't know the origins exactly of the pledge, but I'm some additional information about the state, which makes it unique, which you may already know, is that at one time we were a republic, and thereby, for example, the United States flag and the Texas flag can fly at the same level, where that's unique to Texas versus other states, just because at one time we were a republic. I don't know if that might be helpful or not.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
800-933-5372. Up next is Marina in Grand Prairie. Hello, Marina.
Hi, Jeff. I have an answer to the lady who asked about the massage.
Okay.
I'm a massage therapist, and that is not an urban legend. What happens is that it's lactic acid that is getting released during your massage, and if you do not drink enough water afterwards,
mm-hmm.
then that lactic acid will either run off someplace else and create a brand new knot for you, or it will get into your lymph system and make you feel like you have the flu. You drink lots of water, you flush it through your lymph system, out through your kidneys, and out of your body the way that it's supposed to go.
Very good. Thanks so much.
You bet.
All right.
Bye.
And let's see. Kelly in Plano, do you agree with that?
Pretty close, yeah. I'm a massage therapist also, and You massage as a mechanical cleanser, so it dumps a lot of metabolites or tissue waste into the system, and drinking water just helps your kidneys process those on out.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
You bet.
And let's see, one more along those lines with Penny in Arlington. Hello, Penny.
Hi, how
yes,
are you?
Doing well.
Good. My answer was about cheese, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was about the mold on cheese, and I know that the lovely lady spoke earlier about it, but I'm a certified chef, and in our food safety courses, what we learn is that mold on hard cheeses, like hard cheddar, Parmesan, and other cheeses with wax around them, like brie, just cut the mold off. It's safe to eat, but on soft cheeses, like mascarpone and ricotta or cottage cheese, where the bacteria can settle into deeper and, you know, get
right.
into the liquids of the cheese, throw it out, and it would be unsafe. Yeah, mold is, you know, used for medicinal purposes, but
sure.
it can still make you sick if it's grown kind of organically and not controlled that way. So,
very good. Thanks very much for calling.
Thanks. Have a great day.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And that's where this comes from Joseph, who says, let's see, in 1933, the legislature passed a law establishing rules for the proper display of the Texas flag and providing for a pledge to the flag. Quote, honor the Texas flag of 1836. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one and indivisible. The pledge erroneously referred to the 1836 national flag known as David G. Burnett's flag instead of the Lone Star flag. Senator Searcy Bracewell introduced a bill to correct this error in 1951, but the legislature did not delete the words of 1836 until 1965. The pledge was again amended by the House Bill 1034 during the 80th legislature with the addition of One State Under God. The revised wording became effective on June 15th, 2007. Thanks very much, Joseph. 800-933-5372. Up next is Kevin in Arlington. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
All right. I had a little bit of information. I think you've already got the flag question answered.
Okay.
So I have a little bit of information possibly about swimming in Lake Ray Hubbard.
Okay.
My wife is from Rockwall. She grew up out there. Her family's been out there forever. And apparently been there, out in that area at least since before the lake was actually a lake. And what she's always told me was the reason they don't want people swimming in Ray Hubbard is because there's a lot of undercurrent in the lake. When they flooded that area, it was farmland previously, and she's always told me there's old farm buildings, there's old pieces of farm equipment, there's all kinds of stuff sitting on the bottom of that lake,
mm-hmm.
and it creates undertows and funky currents in the water that could potentially drown somebody.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next is Jessica in Dallas. Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'm calling because I've noticed on Pearl Street in downtown Dallas, right near the Westin, that frequently there seem to be some sort of, like, protesters, people wearing fluorescent jackets, and they've got handouts, and they're equally spaced along the block around the sidewalk. I'm always driving, so I don't know why they're there.
We got an email a few weeks ago about this. They've been there for months, too.
Right. I've noticed them at least for the last month.
Wait, someone's saying 5 months? About 5 months, Brandon
oh, wow.
Barnett is saying. So, yeah, and we had a question about this, and we didn't really get an answer. So let's ask again.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Let's see. Aileen writes about the safety corridors in New Mexico. Safety corridors are set up along stretches of highway that are hazardous or where there have been a lot of accidents. In the safety corridor, you are to drive with your lights on for safety, and apparently traffic fines in those safety corridors are doubled. Sandy writes about the gnats, the gnat problem. Usually you will have gnats inside your home if the potting soil in your houseplants is kept too wet. Let the soil dry out a bit between waterings. And let's see, Noma writes, I recycle plastic bags at a certain big box store and asks, do they actually recycle them and where? 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Sherry in Azle. Hello, Sherry.
Sherry,
yes.
First of all, we like your show so much.
Thank
we really
you.
Enjoy it.
Thank you, Sherry.
I grew up on the north side of Fort Worth. R.G. Wilkerson was my middle school principal.
Okay.
And Abe Grinus owned a furniture store on the corner of Central and North Main. So it definitely is Grinus.
It's pronounced Grinus.
Yes.
Very good.
Wilkerson Grinus.
Thank you so much.
All right. You bet. Bye-bye.
And we'll get one more on this from Robbie in Fort Worth. Hey, Robbie, does that sound right to you?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
All right.
His name was Dr. Abe Grinus, and it is Grinus. And he was a Fort Worth School Board president in the 60s. And his brothers owned that furniture store. And then there was one brother who was a lawyer. But he was also the president of the board of the Fort Worth Boys Club. And I was a secretary there in high school and college, and I had to go get him to sign our checks. But it is Grinus.
Okay, well,
okay.
It sounds, it's between the two of you, you don't agree, but it sounds like we got as close as we possibly can to the source. Thanks very much, Robbie.
Uh-huh.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Arturo wants to know, what is the role of the mosquito in an ecosystem? He says, I've asked biologists and science professors, and I have not received an answer. And let's see. Margaret says, there is a Texas pledge because Texas was first an independent country. There are only two states in the United States that were independent nations, Texas and Hawaii. Although I think, didn't California have a little, a brief little, this is where the emails will just melt the server. Something about California in there, too. But most Texans, Margaret says, know at least some of the story, depending on how much attention you paid in seventh grade Texas history class about the Alamo, Sam Houston, the president of Texas, who later became a senator from Texas when we joined the United States. The legislature mandated, she says, I think two sessions ago, that the Texas Pledge be said every morning after the Pledge of Allegiance in all public schools. Thanks very much for that, Margaret. Really appreciate it. And let's see. Teresa in Fort Worth says, regarding the writing style in Count of Monte Cristo and other books, Teresa says, I remember the use of dashes when I was reading Frankenstein. I think I remember dashes taking the place of the last two digits in the year, 18-dash in Dr. Frankenstein's diary entries. And I think some city names appeared with the first letter, then dashes. Teresa says, I interpreted that style, that it was the author's modest way to leave things vague and perhaps not to make things up with the risk of having to deal with it later. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Rocky in Ennis. Hello, Rocky.
Hi. I had an answer to the turn and bounce question.
Okay.
It was an exercise we did in Army ROTC. I hope my explanation is not as vague as the one she's been reading.
Okay.
You stand with your feet shoulder-width apart. You raise your arms out to the side with your palms facing upwards. And the turn is turning your torso 90 degrees to where your right hand is facing in front of you and your left hand is behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bounce is an extra push to the left.
Okay.
An extra turn of your upper torso to the left. So the turn and then you bounce, go an additional a little bit further.
Oh, just a little bit further. Okay.
And then you come back to your starting position with your arms out to your side, and then you go the other direction, turn, and then bounce a little bit more
so
to that direction.
So it's like torso rotations with a little extra rotation at the end of each turn.
Correct.
And you keep your hips locked in position, facing forward?
That's correct, and your torso is the part that turns up to the right and to the left.
You're supposed to use the torso muscles, not swing your arms to pull everything, but use your torso to push your arms, right?
That's correct.
Great. Well, Rocky, thanks so much.
No problem.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next is Mike in Fort Worth. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, there is this thing they call, speech writers for the, presidential candidates or the president or things like that. My question is, when did that originate and how did it come about? Has it always been that way or what?
Have presidents always had a team of speech writers, or was there a time when they did their own writing?
Yeah, can a candidate write his own speech or her own speech for that matter? Because there was something I heard that Sarah Palin was actually prepared her own speech for acceptance and
right.
Of course concession, which sounded like a dumb, but. Do all presidents have to write their own speech or somebody write for them, and how did it originate?
Right, that's a great question. I mean, I now I'm wondering too. When did the practice of having speechwriters begin to be? We'll ask and see if we get an answer for you. Probably next week. Okay, Mike.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Diane in Denton. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a little different information about why it's not safe to swim in Lake Ray Hubbard.
Okay.
I was there when in the summer of 1970, and the lake was being excavated, and they still had excavation equipment, and a lot of the farm buildings, like she's talking about, the previous caller, had not yet been dismantled. And they were preparing for the lake to be filled with water on a particular schedule. Unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate, and a huge flash flood came that spring and flooded the lake and actually filled it before the Corps was ready for that to happen.
Hmm.
And so they posted all kinds of warnings begging people not to swim or use the lake that 4th of July for recreational purposes. I worked at a local hospital. We got lots and lots of injuries that summer from heeding that warning.
Really? Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Okay. 800-933-5372. Up next is Julie in Dallas. Hello, Julie.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well.
Jeff, I had two questions. The most important one, I have a dear friend who for most of her life has suffered with severe migraines. She's tried all the remedies and the acupuncture and, you know, special bracelets and whatnot, and as she's grown older in her adulthood, she is increasingly in pain. And she's gone to a specialist. He's upped her preventive medication. And yesterday she took two of those, a double dose, and nothing happened. She had to go into the emergency room. Is there any resources, or if there's any doctors or nurses listening, something that we're not doing?
Right. So you're looking for maybe sort of a clearinghouse for information.
Right.
That's an answer that I'm comfortable looking for as far as you know, medical advice on the show.
Exactly.
It's just not something we can do, but we'll see if we get some suggestions for you
just
for
some
next
kind
week.
Of resources.
Okay, thanks, Julie.
Uh-huh.
And let's see really quickly. Let's talk to Fred in Arlington, who reminds us, hello Fred, you're absolutely right. Are you
okay.
there, Fred?
Yeah, Vermont was an independent nation at one time.
That's right. It was. Now, what about California? Am I completely wrong? I think I'm completely wrong.
I'm not sure about it. It was part of Mexico, but I think it came over all at once.
I thought it was a republic for just a very, very, a very short window. I'm actually, when I leave this chair in 1 minute, I'm going to go and look it up. But thanks very much
also
for calling, Fred.
I can tell you about the Franks and weenies and hot dogs.
Okay.
Oscar Mayer called their weenies had pork, the Franks were beef, and sausage. They're all sausage.
Very good. Fred, thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Anything you ever wanted to know is produced by yours truly. Jeannie Mascora runs the board. Thank you, Jeannie. Fiona Norton answers your calls. Thank you so much, Fiona. Brandilyn Barnett, our assistant producer, and our intern Emily Cox do a lot on the show. Thanks to both of you very much for your help. You can download episodes of the show for free at KERA.org. You can sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And, of course, send your questions, answers, comments, and suggestions to us. Those go to anything@KERA.org. I'm Jeff Whittington. Thanks again for joining us today. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.